PFW, Washington.
Good evening. It's 6 p.m. in the nation's capital, and that must mean it's time for News Views. My name's Garland Nixon, and I'm here with
Mark Levine.
And we're going to have a fun hour, as always, and we're going to open the phones, and you're going to call, and we're going to have plenty to talk about. There's big things going on. CPAC is right up the road. Of course, we got to talk about that. And of course, you know, we got to talk about CPAC and their empty minority outreach program. That's kind of hilarious.
That was
pretty hilarious.
Great picture.
And Mark and I are going to have a lot of fun. But first, before we get into that, we got a lot of stuff to get into. Before we get into anything, we got big doings going on here,
don't we,
Mark?
Garland, this is my last show with you.
Uh-oh.
It's time to say goodbye.
Uh-oh.
And it's not because of anything you said.
No.
Or anything you've done.
You just don't like me, right?
I'm just moving on to bigger and better things, Garland. Don't take it personal.
We could argue whether they're bigger and better.
they may well be smaller and worse, actually.
Right.
I have thrown my hat into the ring to run for Congress.
Holy moly. Right now, Mark, do you realize you could be costing lives? Right now, like our regular listeners that drive down the Beltway.
And they're like, sure, that's right. Don't hit the ice.
Right.
Be cool.
Slamming into the guardrails, spinning out of control.
That's true. My hometown is Alexandria, Virginia, and if you live in Alexandria or Arlington or Fairfax County or Falls Church in Northern Virginia, basically inside the Beltway or south of the Beltway, Virginia's 8th Congressional District, you'll have the opportunity to vote for Mark Levine on June 10th.
What do you know about that?
And, of course, I am the aggressive progressive.
Uh-huh.
That is my title. That is what I've been on the air on WPFW for the last 6, 7, 8 years. I've lost count how long I've been here.
Let's see, 2006, I think.
So we're about almost 8 years now.
Wow.
And I've been the aggressive progressive. We started, let's see, let me think back. There was Dialogue, I think, was the first name.
We were on, each of us were on 1 hour
a month.
That's
right. And then we joined together, you, me, and Terry DeKester for the Raucous Caucus.
Oh my gosh, that was a blast.
We were plenty raucous for every Tuesday night, including a lot at Ben's next door to Ben's Chili Bowl.
Yeah, we did a live show. A lot of people came. That was a lot of fun.
And then, of course, News Views, I guess, was next. Here with you every Friday. And then just recently, Wednesday morning, the AM Alternative.
6 to 8 a.m.
That's right. And now I bequeath to you, Garland Nixon. I'm not dying, but I bequeath to you.
I was about to say, Mark, you look pretty healthy to be bequeathing
the AM Alternative and the entirety of News Views. And then once I'm in Congress, you can feel free to have me back and talk about the issues of the day.
Well, I'll probably be outside your office, you know, protesting.
Probably.
Locking arms.
I may join with you.
Arrested.
I have a long history of protests. I'll probably be out there protesting myself.
Yeah, that'll be a first. That's a impossible. Congress member who's outside
protesting
getting
himself.
Arrested. Why?
That's right. I'll be like, why? Because I'm not doing what I should be doing.
Right.
That'd be good. And the other thing to announce is that my big kickoff party.
Okay.
All your listeners who want a chance to see the inside of my home, you have that opportunity to come to my house, 805 Rivergate Place.
And that excludes, like, thieves, pickpockets, and miscreants.
No. Thieves, as long as they can vote.
If
they're registered voters, thieves, pickpockets, miscreants, if they commit a felony, they might take their vote away. But if it's a misdemeanor,
that's it.
Come on down, 805 Rivergate Place. It's off of Madison in Old Town Alexandria. That is my home. Mm-hmm. And on Sunday at 1 p.m. is my official kickoff.
Well, Mark,
and I
since
invite
they're driving,
all WPFW listeners to come
down. Well, since they're driving right now and they can't take the time to write down your address and all of that stuff, I'm sure they can go to your website
and get
the info so they can come to your house and eat free food and drink your water up and hang out.
You can go to my radio website, marklevinetalk.com. Mm-hmm. You can go to my new campaign website, marklevineforcongress.com.
And that's F-O-R Congress, right?
F-O-R Congress. Okay. And please spell my name right, M-A-R-K. L-E-V-I-N-E-F-O-R Congress. That second E stands for empathy. something that a
How
guy.
How about energy? I like that.
Energy, empathy. But it's something that a right-wing jerk named Mark Levin, L-E-V-I-N, doesn't have. He doesn't have any empathy.
He doesn't have any. He's so evil, he doesn't even have an E on the end of
true.
His name.
And Google is kind of evil, too, because every time people write Mark Levine, they get Mark Levin. They assume you're an idiot, Google
right.
does.
Well, of course, you wouldn't be Googling his name if you weren't.
Well,
most likely. So it's a safe assumption.
You have a point. I know,
Google indexes things in a very orderly way. Think about it.
I hadn't thought about it that way, Garland.
That's a good, solid point. So now that you think about that, Google is perfectly reasonable for them to assume that people looking for Mark Levin would be, you know,
my brain hurts
intellectually
a little bit. My brain hurts a little bit. But, hey, no, seriously, folks, all WPFW listeners are absolutely welcome in my home. We got food, we got drink, we got parties. We got the reasons why I'm running to be the most aggressive progressive. I am the guy. And a lot of things I want to talk about. Some things we've talked about before, mm-hmm. my plan to reduce college costs, to mm-hmm. actually use the power of the federal government to negotiate down the cost of college so that people don't graduate with a ton of debt and have to live with mom and dad. And I know that's good for the
Do you think the government should actually stop making money on student loans,
I
Mark?
Do.
That's a radical position here.
I do think they should not make $58 billion off of students. I think they should not only make zero, I think they should actually give money back. I would have a net transfer from the government to people trying to live the American dream the way they used to do at the time of the GI Bill.
Right.
The government subsidized college because that is the American dream. That's how we get ahead.
You know what the American dream is now? Survival for a
barely,
lot of people.
Barely.
It's survival.
That's true.
A lot of the dream has become for a lot of people being able to pay their next month's mortgage or rent.
Which is why I support not only a minimum wage increase up to at least $10.10, which is what President Obama's proposed, but a living wage increase as well, because nobody who works full-time should live in poverty.
You know something that kills me, speaking about what you're saying, Mark, and that is when I hear – it just galls me – when I hear conservatives talking about, you know, oh, look how bad the jobs market has been under Obama,
blah, blah, blah,
6 months. I remember in 2004 sitting in the kitchen with my mother before the election saying, Mom, if this guy gets back in, it's going to take 25 years to fix what he's screwing up.
That's true.
And now the biggest argument they got against Obama is he hasn't fixed what this guy has screwed up quick enough.
He hasn't fixed every single thing that Bush messed up, for everything from two expensive wars to really the middle class falling farther behind, everything from students paying more for colleges to the high deficits.
Wasn't that the argument against Clinton? Remember, Clinton came into this unbelievable
mess. Bush's team seemed to cause messes that Democratic presidents have to clean up
backwards. I have, for all the conservatives that are arguing that, you know, Clinton didn't fix it fast enough or Obama didn't fix it up, I have a suggestion. Stop destroying the economy,
really?
You know, and then you won't have to use the argument that the Democrat didn't fix it fast enough.
So basically they're saying people are on food stamps, but we don't want to raise the minimum wage. They're saying people can't find jobs, but we don't want to make it easier for people to go to college. What they're doing is they're saying we're going to make it as tough for you as possible. We want the top 1% to take all of your productivity because, as you know, Garland, middle-class people have been losing ground. Working-class people have been losing ground while the top 1% takes all of their increased productivity, which goes up every year.
Right.
We want them to have everything. We don't want them to pay a penny more. And, oh, middle-class and working-class people, why are you falling behind? Must be President Obama's fault.
Oh, no doubt. Could it be anybody else?
One thing I want to do in Congress is take the Affordable Care Act and go further. The gold standard has always been universal care. What they have in 35 industrialized nations, another 20 nations around the world where they live longer and they pay a lot less than we do.
Mark? Instead of the word industrialized, let's change that and start saying civilized.
Civilized. Yeah, I like
civilized
that.
Nations.
I like that. But I don't want to argue that the poorer nations are uncivilized, though.
Well, they got health care for their people.
Well, that's true.
I can make an argument that it's more civilized than Costa Rica.
They say,
if you're sick, it would be nice if you have some easily curable disease. Well, maybe you should live, and it should be treated. Isn't that more civilized?
It is.
I'm not going to say the whole country, I'll say during the Republican convention, when there was a discussion about a guy who's 30 years old, he doesn't have health care, and what do? Just let him die. Do you remember the reason?
Yeah, they said, let him
die.
They
cheered.
Yeah, this was the Republican debate in 2012.
Yeah, so I think Costa Rica's position is more civilized than a Republican's.
You know, they're a lot poorer nation than we are. They're in the middle of Central America, but they do have universal health care, and they live longer than we do. They live longer than we do. Central American country that lives longer than we do, and they pay way less
so
than we do.
So think about
for healthcare.
This. If you're a very, very poor person in America, well, you're already poor. You might as well live in Costa Rica.
You'll do better.
You're going to be
you'll
poor there.
You'll get health care. You'll live longer.
At least you're not going to die just because you have high blood pressure.
That's
so if
exactly
I'm already
right.
poor, hey, give me a free ticket to Costa Rica.
That's kind of sad.
I can pick bananas for the same. I can't get a job here. Might as well.
That's kind of sad because America, they used to say, give me your tired, your poor, huddled masses yearning to be free. I think there's a statue in New York somewhere.
Yeah.
It's written somewhere. Emma Lazarus wrote a poem.
And they make that
there.
Argument. We've got the greatest health care system in the world. Yeah, for those who have access to it, it's pretty darn good.
I think the answer is the Republicans who are opposed to this description, the bottom of the Statue of Liberty, they're just opposed to liberty. That's the answer, right? That's their logic. You know,
they like the statue.
No, they don't.
It's just what it stands
for. They don't like what it stands
for. Yeah, I was going to say they like the statue.
It welcomes immigrants, and we all know they don't like immigrants very much.
That's
another thing we need to do in Congress is pass the DREAM Act. Give every immigrant a chance to succeed. The same ones that my great-grandparents. Listen, if you're in this country, unless you're a descendant of Native Americans, you came as a descendant of immigrants or a descendant of people on slave ships. And so, you know, our ancestors were not born here in America, neither yours nor mine, Garland. But this has been the country that brings everybody in, forcefully or voluntarily, but makes a difference from generation to generation. And we have to look out for the next generation in immigration. Another thing I would do that none of the other candidates in this race would do, I would expand Social Security. You heard me. Not preserve. Preserve. We're going to preserve it. Expand it. Because as long as millionaires pay their fair share, there is so much money available to – so as you know, if you make under $117,000, you pay 6% or so into Social Security, another 1.5% for Medicare. If you make $1 million, you pay less than 1%.
Right, because you only pay up to $117,000.
Right.
The other $870,000, whatever it is.
And if you make $1 billion, if you're the Koch brothers, you make $1 billion, you pay less than 0.001%. So this is a tax that basically says if you're a janitor, you're going to pay 1,000 times the rate of if you're an oil company magnate.
That doesn't sound civilized
no.
to me, Mark. I like that term, civilized.
That's true. Well, all we have to do is make everyone pay the same rate in Social Security and Medicare, and guess what? We have enough money not only to make Social Security solvent, but to expand Social Security so that no one has to live in poverty. And maybe even the people that are taking care of their family, Family Medical and Leave Act, can get a little bit of payment for that. So that'd be something that we could do.
Great. Well, right up the street here, maybe a couple miles, there is a group of people who would probably disagree with everything.
They
that you
probably
have to say.
Would.
You think so, Mark?
I think so.
They'd probably say everything's socialist. Many of them don't even know what socialism means, but they would argue that it's all socialism.
They hate Social Security. They hate Medicare.
The Conservative Political Action Conference, better known as CPAC. Ted Cruz is there. What's his name? Perry is there.
Is Rand Paul there?
They couldn't have it without Rand
That's
Paul
probably
there,
true.
Ranting there. But there's one particular forum that they had that I thought we should talk about. There's a couple. I don't know if you heard about Paul Ryan saying that making up a story about poor kids' lunch. Oh, that's a good one. But
what did Paul Ryan say about poor kids' lunch?
Well, he said that some friend of his. I think I'm in Ohio or whatever. So at any rate, so he says she told him this story about this poor child that she met who got free lunch, and he said he didn't want free lunch.
No, he wants the kid to starve.
He wanted a brown bag like the other kids, a brown bag lunch, and he didn't feel good about free lunch. He wanted a brown bag lunch, and he said, and the Democrats want to give them a full stomach and an empty soul, whatever that means.
Right, and the Republicans want to give them a full soul and a dead kid.
Right, they want to give them an empty stomach. Who cares?
No. They want to give them a full soul and a dead corpse.
Well, here's
and I just want to know what you'd prefer. Would you prefer your 10-year-old to be alive and maybe having to rely on the government to eat, or would you prefer your 10-year-old being dead?
Well,
if you prefer the dead kid, vote Republican.
Well, here's the good part. It was a fake story.
Of course it was.
It was lifted from a book about somebody that met a homeless person. It was a false. The story was a fake. It was a fraud. This guy really does love Ronald Reagan. He's using fake stories about people on social programs. But at any rate, so let's get back to CPAC. And we'll at some point we'll open the phones. CPAC. Well, they have a particular forum. And it's on, they had a forum, and it was on Minority Outreach.
I think this is the best retweeted picture because I retweeted it as well.
What was interesting about the forum is they, you know, they had lots of people to talk, speakers there. They actually ran over. Huge auditorium. I mean, it looked like they could have fit 500, 1,000 people in that auditorium.
Nah, it looks like there about 200, 300 chairs there.
Yeah, okay, so there was hundreds of chairs there, Mark.
Right.
It looked like there was about a dozen people.
Yeah.
Clearly, it was one of the least attended. Now let me ask you this,
Mark. Well, there was a dozen. When you think of all the minorities in the Republican Party, combined with all the people who want to reach out to the minorities, and anyone who's just with them as friends and so forth, they actually got 12? Really?
That's pretty shocking.
Okay, that's more than 10. That's all right, okay.
About twice what you would have suspected.
Usually I would expect more people on stage than in the audience. Like, I remember at the Republican National Convention when they would pan on the three black faces in the room, and then there would be more blacks on stage, you know, singing the music than actually in the delegates,
I will say this, though. Their actual Minority Reach Forum fared better this year than it did last year.
Oh, because they had 11 last year and 12 this
year? They had a guy in the audience who stood up and defended slavery.
Nice.
Yeah, which I think is very appropriate at a conservative. They said we should.
I thought that battle ended 150 years ago.
Well, you're not in the conservative party either.
Clearly.
Yeah, they're still calling the Civil War the Yankee War of Aggression.
I see.
Yeah. So last year, I mean, they moved forward, Mark. They're not defending slavery anymore. You got to give credit where credit is.
Now they want sharecropping and Jim Crow laws.
You got to crawl before
they've moved all the way to 1875. Is that what you're telling me?
1866, maybe. Let's not get too beyond this.
All right. Well, you know.
Yeah, so
that's too bad because, let's face it, the Republican Party of Lincoln in 1866 was obviously more generous to minorities than the Republican Party of today.
Well, and that's something else too, Mark, that I've been meaning to talk about on the radio a little bit. It goes back to that Rand Paul forum or whatever it was, the talk, whatever the event that he had at Howard University. And the reason I talk, because I see it on Twitter, I see it on Facebook. The conservatives that say it was the Democrats who had all the Jim Crow laws. It was the Democrats.
It was.
Okay. And I say
it was the conservative Democrats.
And what I say is, it was the conservative Southerners.
The right-wing Southern Democrats.
The Southern conservatives
did
this. So what difference? I don't care if they're Democrats. If somebody's lynching you, you're not going to say, are you a Democrat or a Republican? No, you're going to say, wow, these conservatives down here in Mississippi sure aren't very friendly. Right. So now,
Lincoln was liberal. Teddy Roosevelt was liberal. There used to be liberal Republicans.
When Lincoln was a Republican,
he ran on the progressive ticket.
Here's the question:
Teddy Roosevelt, Republican.
And this is the reality of it. Where were the Republicans when Lincoln was a Republican? They were in the North.
That's
in the Northeast.
That's right.
So even if we say the culture of the areas for all this, well, the down South.
That's right.
The Southerners.
Massachusetts. And,
right. So I don't care what names they've moved in around. The Southern culture was what it is, and the Northeastern and Northern and Eastern culture was what it is.
Let's not forget what changed the calculus. It was really one president, and his name was Lyndon Johnson.
Yeah.
And he was a Democrat from Texas, and they got him in, and a lot of Southerners voted for him.
Hooray!
And Lyndon Johnson did something amazing.
He backstabbed them.
He did. He backstabbed the white Southern racists. And in the process, he knew exactly what he was doing because he's a very smart, wily politician. He said, I'm going to sign away the South for a generation. Looks like it was two, so he was off.
Right.
He was off by a generation. But Lyndon Johnson absolutely understood what he was doing when he basically said, all right, we're going to reach out and give every American a chance to succeed. Civil Rights Act, Voting Rights Act, 64 and 65. When that happened, suddenly, the Southern Democrats didn't want to be Democrats anymore.
The Southern conservatives
wanted to be Republican.
Right. They simply said, that party's not the party for us.
That's right. And they switched parties.
That label isn't working for us.
That's right. They switched parties.
We need a different label.
That's exactly right.
But they were in the same place.
But they're the same people.
Even now, I would argue that the Tea Party is not ideological. It's regional. Where is where is all the base of the Tea Party?
Yeah.
Where are most of them? Now, don't get me wrong, there are Tea Party members all over. But where are they clustered? Where are they, you know, where are they based out of? The Southern conservatives.
Yeah.
This stuff is all
And
reason.
Some of the Western conservatives. Yeah. But what they clearly are is very angry.
But here's something that I find interesting that I want to discuss a little bit, Mark, on this CPAC thing and this. And that is something that I find alarming about the guy who wrote this article. And this is why. And I see this sometimes on the left, and I shake my head. I'll be honest. Sometimes, being on the left, sometimes I will hear people who are white say things about the black voters or African-American community, which I know is not, you know, there is no malice. And there's no, you know, they're in good heart. But that says to me, boy, you really don't get it. But, you know, I remember I was at
Isn't that what racism is? Yeah, prejudging others?
Well,
prejudice?
It's a misunderstanding. There's no malice here. I'm not saying, you know, they're trying to do the best, but they don't understand. I was at a fundraiser in 2004 or 5, something like that, whatever. Ben Cardin was running against Michael Steele. And all of these people, and they were in Annapolis.
Remember that election? Yeah. That's the one where Michael Steele lied on his form and claimed that a bunch of black Democrats supported him. And we on the radio, I was on the radio at that time, I was on Black Talk Radio.
Yeah.
And we found out that they lied on this form. They had all these black Democrats, and they had Michael Steele and Bob Ehrlich in the center.
Right.
And they didn't say what party they were in.
Right.
And had all these black Democrats that had not endorsed them, put them there, and they went, they got a bunch of homeless people in Philadelphia to hand these out.
Yeah.
I was on the radio that
didn't
time.
Didn't somebody go to jail over that?
I don't know that anyone did.
Maybe not.
But
I don't know.
Do know this. I was on the radio. One of our listeners called in. I was on Black Talk Radio at the time, XM The Power. One of our listeners called in, faxed us the flyer. We could see it was a lie, and we started to guard the polls. And I called all of our listeners to get out there, and we had hundreds of listeners go to the polls in Maryland and defend the polls against this false flyer. And basically, the people who were handing them out got all scared, and they dropped the flyers and ran away. And I'm proud to say that Ehrlich and Steele lost in a landslide.
Well, what was alarming to me was this, and I was in a place where, first of all, I was only a black person there, and pretty much everybody there was extremely wealthy. And,
in Maryland?
Yeah, in Annapolis. I guess I was their black friend or something.
Annapolis.
I don't know. But they were good people, but they did not, because they were very scared. They were like, I'm afraid. And I'm like, well, what are you afraid of?
What are you afraid of?
And they're saying, we're afraid that Michael Steele's going to win. And I said, well, how could he possibly win?
Yeah.
Well, because black people might vote for him. And I just stopped and looked at him for a second.
Black people aren't that stupid.
And I looked at him like, you know, like they had an eye in the middle of their forehead. And I said, why in the world would black people vote for him? And this was the reality, right? I said, why would black people vote for him? He's a Republican.
Right.
And they were like, but he's black. I said, but he's a Republican.
But you know.
And he lost by 100,000 votes.
But that
black people
but you
vote
know what?
For him.
But that flyer was designed to fulfill exactly that prejudice. That flyer, which had 10 black faces of black elected Democrats in Prince George's County who had never endorsed Ehrlich or Steele, and they had him on the front, and they had Ehrlich and Steele, you know, next, as if they endorsed them. That was designed with the idea in mind that black people were too stupid to figure out that all these black faces meant an endorsement of Ehrlich and Steele.
You know what it was? It was exactly what the Republicans were doing in running Michael Steele.
They believe
that tokenism works. They believe he's black.
That's right.
They're black.
That's why they made him head of the Republican Party.
They're not all that smart. We put a black. So then they
thought
said,
all the blacks were going to vote Republican once he became chairman of the Republican Party.
So then they said, well, wait a minute. Well, here's what we'll do. We'll take a picture and we'll put black people on the picture and we'll put Michael Steele and Ehrlich. Hey, this tokenism worked. They didn't, you know, and he lost.
Our Guard the Polls campaign, I think, helped, but you're right. Even without it, though, you're right.
He lost 100,000, right. He would have voted.
We saved 10,000 votes.
He would have only lost by 999,991.
Yeah, no, I like to think we saved 10,000
votes. When black people walk up to the polls and they see an R, you know what they see? A Confederate flag.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who's behind it. Black people see
reversion, reversion to slavery.
Yeah, that's there's a Confederate flag there.
Right.
No, black
see
people
see reversal, just, yeah. Most progress and reverse.
Most of Black America votes two ways: either for the Democrat or against the Republican.
D in the car means drive. That's Democrat.
That's it.
And R that means reverse.
That means right,
that means
right.
They want to take us in reverse.
That's
it's a good way to remember.
And we ain't bailing no hay or picking no cotton. So no, sorry. And CPAC. So anyway. But what I was going to say is the guy who I, you know, I don't know his who he is. I don't know. But he's with the Brookings Institute.
Mm.
Well, here's what he writes.
Okay.
He talks about the advice that the panelists gave. And in reading this, I say, well, he simply doesn't understand. For those who you don't know that doesn't know what's going on, I've dropped my microphone and I'm scrambling all over the place, crawling around the floor to try to get my hands on it. But at any rate, so here's what he said.
A little exaggeration there.
Yeah, kind of. But he said so. He goes on to talk about the Republicans and who they had. They had Gillespie and Roe and Sailor Woodson. Okay, and he said the advice they gave was solid. Well, it wasn't solid at all. But he thinks it was solid, which is kind of troubling. But he says. They explained that one problem is we don't have a good ground game, particularly in minority neighborhoods. Saylor eloquently noted a key to Republican success. we don't have to abandon our existing friends to make new ones. If you have to ask that question, Garland, you can forget it. But this is the good part. He says, the message was simple. Republicans don't necessarily have to change their values. They have to change how they talk about the issues and who they talk to. Now, the writer writes, the takeaway is not a tall order, but something doable, something digestible, and most notably, there are people in the party who know how to do it. No, it's something that's absurd.
You, if the Republicans want black votes, there's easy ways to get them. You know what? Support raising the minimum wage, support unions, support universal care, support education for all, support the Voting Rights Act being reauthorized, support stop using voting laws to try to disenfranchise black people, support minority-owned business. There's a lot of ways to support African-Americans, and you know what? They would actually get their
votes.
You know,
Mark, I'm starting to think I understand why the room was simple since you said all the things they got
to
do. Right.
That's all they have to do.
Here's the thing about
That's all they have to do. It's believe in equal rights for all.
Oh, yeah, that's a big problem, isn't it?
Yeah.
They believe in equal rights for all white males over the age of
60. Believe in equal opportunity for all. Believe that every kid, poor or rich, black or white, Latino or Asian, every kid should have a chance to have health care so they can survive, food and shelter so they can live, and education so they can prosper. You know, we give that to prisoners. You'd think we could give that to, I don't know, eight-year-old kids?
I'm a firm believer, and there are those who
If they did that, they get lots of black votes. Well, they get lots of white votes, too.
Yeah, I'm a firm believer that the conservative ideology, particularly the American Southern version of it, is fundamentally based on inequality.
It's based on a caste system. It's based on a class system. Right.
It says if you are a straight, white, Christian male, you're at the top of the totem pole.
Right.
You were born into that place, and that's where.
And
now,
you know what? We used to have a system like that.
Yeah.
It was called the kings and dukes and earls and nobles of England.
You had commoners.
Yeah, the Earl of Shropshire. Right?
I always loved the Shropshire. Such a
the
funny
The Earl
name.
Of Shropshire gave birth to his grandson, the Duke of Shropshire, and lo and behold, all the Shropshires never had to work a day in their life.
Nor should they have.
They were Shropshires.
That's it. You get
better
off
to
with
be
your
a
head.
Shropshire than a sharecropper. Put it that way.
Yeah.
So off with your head. But you know, I kind of thought a revolution was opposed to landed wealth and nobility. But no, that's what
the
Republicans support.
That the conservative ideology
is
in America.
No estate tax. Yep. And by the way, there's some of my opposition, some of my candidates, some Democrats who actually want to end the estate tax. I mean, some that you wouldn't think.
Oh,
some that claim to be liberal.
Again.
I'm running for Congress.
Let me mention again, Mark here. Is in fact running for Congress in the 8th
Northern Virginia.
And
I need your vote on June 10th.
What's your website?
Website is levineforcongress.com. That's the website. The vote that you can't forget.
And Levine with an E, right?
LevineForCongress.com. Follow me on Facebook, facebook.com/LevineForCongress. Twitter at Levine, the number 4, Congress. Vote for me on June 10th. And please come to my house. I have never invited the entire WPFW to my house before. That's 50,000 watts. So that's, I don't know, 100,000 people,
after this,
a million
radio,
people,
after
10 million people all going to come to my house.
After this radio show, I don't think you're going to get anybody from CPAC
to
your house.
We may have to crowd you in. I live at 805 Rivergate Place. I've given out my address on
Holy
the air.
Holy moly.
That's a scary thing. In Old Town Alexandria, back where Madison hits the river, please come to my kickoff and find out why I, the aggressive progressive, am willing, unlike some other ones.
And they can go to your website and find out how to get to you.
But I'll tell you something. Too many Democrats simply accept the status quo. All the people that have called into our shows over the years, Garland, for the last 8 years, and have said, I'm mad at the Democratic Party. They're acting like Republicans. They're supporting corporations, and we always have to say, yeah, they're bad, but the Republicans are worse. Here's your chance to get a progressive Democrat. What I told all those people for the last 8 years, vote in the primaries.
Right.
Don't wake up in November and say, well, I don't like this Democrat, I don't like this Republican. In June, you can vote for me, the aggressive progressive, and you can get a solid progressive Democrat, someone whose views you might actually like represent you on June 10th.
All righty. Well, we will continue to talk a bit about CPAC and other things and bash the Republican
I want to talk about what I've done in activism, too, because I've been a citizen activist for 20 years.
And guess what else we're going to do? We're going to take your calls. So let me give out the number right now, 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893. And we've got plenty to talk about. We want you to be a part of it. 202-588-0893, WPFW 89.3 FM. Garland Nixon and Mark Levine.
My swan song.
Who will be the dearly departed after this week.
I'm leaving radio and hopefully getting into Congress with your help.
All righty. We'll be right back.
I'm Brian Settles. area saxophonist, teacher, and supporter of WPFW. And you are tuned to member-supported WPFW Washington.
Garland Nixon with Mark Levine here on 89.3 FM WPFW in Washington, D.C. We're talking to Maryland and Virginia, and well, I think we get West Virginia, parts of
West Virginia,
Pennsylvania,
D.C.,
all over creation. 202-588-0893.
And the entire 8th Congressional District of Virginia.
You'll be running it.
Which I hope to represent starting June 10th.
Before we go, I want to kind of just finish something I started so I didn't completely finish out. And that was this, when I said what was a little bit not alarming, but, you know, it's not good. And that is... the Republicans say all we need to do is change our message. We don't need to change any policy.
Yeah.
Okay. But sometimes I hear Democrats, just like I said in, you know, remember in 2004, six, wherever it was, when there were a bunch of Democrats saying we're afraid that black people are going to vote for Michael Steele because he's black. And I said they really don't get it. And then I read this guy and he says, yeah, the Republicans, I think they've got an idea there. You know, if they change their message to black people, you know, no. You know, let me ask you this, Mark. Do you think if during slavery they'd have changed the message to black people, that people, black people would have been like,
yeah,
well,
we love you while we're beating you.
Yeah.
Like, take that whipping. We love you. Take another whipping.
If they said to black people, you know, this isn't slavery. It's full employment. John Conyers
full
right
employment.
Now is fighting for full employment.
Full employment.
He said, this isn't slavery.
Oh,
it's full employment.
Oh,
the
wow.
food is free. All they had to do was change their message, and the slaves
pick some cotton, and they would have loved it.
They would have
And they would have appreciated their whippings.
Right. Do you think if Bull Connor had said that, oh, you know, guys, we're not beating you with sticks or sicking dogs on you. You know, we're just...
We're loving you with dog saliva.
Yeah, that's it. We're introducing you to the pets in our community.
And we're making sure you have enough water.
That's it. Yeah, right. It's hot out here, and so we're going to, you know, no. Changing the message doesn't
just
work.
We want to make sure if you're thirsty, you get something to drink.
That's
why
we're blowing.
We're
going to do that with 500
fire hoses.
PSI fire hose. No.
Oh, God.
That just doesn't work. Changing the message doesn't work. So for all of you left-leaning people who mean well but think that crap will work, no, let me say this. Most black people are the majority of black people are in working class or working poor or poor. They're most of them, they're working class.
Or middle class.
Or middle class. Yeah, but the majority of black people, more likely than not, are going to be working class people.
Working class, right.
You know? And then there are some of the working poor and the poor.
Right.
So if you – policies that – here's the thing.
That help the working
funny
class.
Funny thing, Mark. That help most white people.
That's true.
Are going to help most black people.
That is true. And there are a few policies that would actually help rich black people, like, you know, making sure that they can vote, making sure they're not turned away at the polls, making sure that jurisdictions that discriminate under the Voting Rights Act.
If you're conservative and you know the voters aren't going to pick you, then you got to pick the voters, right?
Well, and that's what they're doing. That's
so,
exactly 202-588-0893.
Well, Mark, let's talk. Let's get back to this a little bit, spend a few more minutes back on you, who running for Congress.
I appreciate that. I'll tell you, you know, WFW is really the perfect place to announce my campaign.
Oh, in so many ways.
Because President Obama has said that he wants us to attack him from the left. He has said, don't make me on the left wing of the spectrum. You know, he's a moderate, right? How many times have we heard callers call into the show and complain about President Obama? Yeah, he's better. Well, as have we. We did an Obama intervention
right.
3 years ago. So President Obama is in the middle. The Republicans are on the right. But President Obama knows that the more we challenge him from the left, the more we help him move to the left. And that's why I think we need an aggressive progressive in Congress. And all of my 10 opponents, they're going to support the Democratic Party. I'll support the Democratic Party, too, when they're right. But when they're wrong, I'm going to call them out because that's what an aggressive progressive does. And so I really hope – by the way, folks, you can support my campaign. Go to levineforcongress.com. You can go volunteer. You can follow me on Facebook. You can come to my house this Sunday at 1 p.m., 805 Rivergate Place, Alexandria, Virginia. Come support the campaign. Come support Aggressive Progressive because I've been a citizen activist for 20 years now. I'm just thinking about all the protests that I've led or that I've been in, including ours in front of the Supreme Court. Remember that, Garland, after Citizens United?
Yes.
You, Terry, and me in protest Supreme Court. But I did a protest in 2000 when George Bush was in was installed in office.
I was about to say,
Supreme
you weren't going to say elected. You
know, I wrote the brief.
Or you're out of here elected.
I wrote the brief challenging the Florida electors. The congressional, as you know, the Congressional Black Caucus hired me to draft the formal congressional legal brief on the floor of Congress, the one that Maxine Waters held in her hand in Fahrenheit 9/11. I wrote that. Because I believe that the American people should choose a president, not the Supreme Court. Call me radical.
We've got a caller. What's their
call? I like callers.
Who? Joe.
Hey, Joe.
Welcome to WPFW. Thanks for calling.
How you doing this evening?
Fantastic.
Good. I would like to just make two comments, really. One is I've noticed what you're talking about some white people believing that black people will vote for a person simply because of their skin color. And I personally believe it's because our intellect has long been, I guess, overlooked. In other words, we aren't intellectual enough to be aware of the political issues and not so much the Republicans, although we understand what the Republican school of thought is about and how it disassociates itself from us. But anyway, I would like to, you know, to say that I've never voted for a Republican. And, I mean, I would. There's some that I've liked, such as J.C. Watts, I believe his name is. I haven't heard from him in quite some time. And there are a few others. But the point being, again, we've been underestimated as far as how intellectual we are about political issues. And it's been shown that since politics became politics, that blacks have always been politically motivated and politically aware. And the other thing that I would like to say is, I don't know, maybe I would just float this idea past Mr. Levine. I would really like to maybe work in his campaign.
I would love to have you work in my campaign. Go to my website, levineforcongress.com, click on volunteer, and we could use your help. Really.
I do that. I live in Maryland, so
you can still help.
I can't vote for you. But, you know, if you do get to Congress, I would like for somebody there to really think about the idea of bringing our job back home. I don't know if we have to get some kind of petition to force businesses that take jobs overseas. I've studied at University of Maryland, and the big thing when I studied 10 years ago was outsourcing.
Yep.
And we can see exactly where outsourcing has led us.
Yep.
When really what we need to do is force our companies, and not violent force, but monetary force,
right.
Tariffs, taxes,
yep.
Whatever, and make it more difficult. If they do want to take those jobs overseas, fine. If they can't, if they absolutely can't find someone here to do those jobs, then okay, they can do that. But if you can find someone here to do that job, then it should be here. And if it's not done here, then when you bring those products back, that the taxes and tariffs are going to be so high that it's going to discourage them from doing so.
Joe, you are preaching to the choir.
Thank you very
I want to thank
Joe.
You. If you go to my website, levineforcongress.com, and you click on what we're fighting for, you're going to see right up there exactly that idea. I would penalize corporations that move jobs overseas, and I would reward the ones that bring them back home. Right now, our tax code actually does exactly the opposite. Did you know that? If the company goes overseas, they don't have to pay U.S. taxes anymore. And if they come here, they have to pay more. So we actually incentivize. The federal government incentivizes corporations to fire Americans, which I think is crazy. I would do exactly what you say, Joe. Thanks so much. And I hope you'll volunteer for my campaign. And Joe, hey, come to my house, 805 Rivergate Place, this Sunday at 1 o'clock. Yeah, I'll meet you in person, and I'll tell you all about my campaign.
Well, you know, Joe makes a strong point, and that is that the very assumption that black people are going to vote for black – and it's not just black people. You know, if you remember, the conservatives stuck Sarah Palin out there said, we'll get all the Hillary voters because women,
she's a woman,
don't,
right.
Women don't need – you know, minorities and women, we don't need to watch debates. We don't need any sheets with the positions of the candidates. All we need is a picture. That's it. Look at them. Well, what do you know? It's a woman, and I'm a woman. Hey, might as well vote for her. Well, what do you know? I'm a black person. Well, there's the black person. Clarence Thomas, he's my guy. No, black people ain't voting for Clarence Thomas, my friend. That's not going to happen. But those assumptions in themselves have a racist foundation. There are some underlying assumptions that are racist or sexist or any of the above when you say – and the thing about it is this.
Lots of Americans.
One more thing before we go to Mary. The thing about it is this. America's history says the people who voted based on race for the most of this country were the white males. It wasn't the women. It wasn't the black folk. The women and black people and minorities all had to say which white – candidate am I going to vote for, this one or that one?
Which white male?
Yeah, so realistically,
which
the group
Christian white male
that has done it the most has been white males,
yeah.
And that has done it the least because they didn't have any to vote for were women,
and
minorities, et cetera.
Everyone, just look and see who the candidates are, what their positions are. You know me. Just decide based on positions. J.C. Watts is a Republican. You probably don't want to vote for him. Find out who the Democrats are and find out who the most progressive Democrats are.
We got Mary. Mary, welcome to WPFW, and thank you very much for calling.
Yes. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon, Mary.
Good afternoon, Mary. You're our favorite caller.
Thank you. You're my favorite guys on the radio, man.
Thank
you,
Mary.
You talk sense. You talk a lot of sense. You're a breath of fresh air.
Thank you, Mary.
And Mr. Levine, say your name loud and
Mark.
Clear so my family can hear.
It is Mark Levine. Call me Mark. Don't call me Mr. Levine. That's too formal.
I don't want to confuse you with the other.
No, please don't. It's
there's
M-A-R-K.
They have to know this. They have to know this.
L-E-V-I-N-E.
Okay.
That second E stands for empathy. It's what
okay.
The other guy lacks.
That's what I want to hear. And when you get in office, because I'm going to make sure my family votes for you.
Please
do. Are you going to be running against Mr. Cantor or anything like that? Because we need to get him gone.
I'd love to, but unfortunately he's not in my district.
Oh, okay.
But I guarantee you I'll be speaking against Mr.
Okay,
Cantor
great,
frequently.
Great, because they're over there littering the harbor right now.
I know. Well, that's actually one of the things I want to do. One
yeah.
of my goals in office is to actually make the Potomac River so clean that in 10 to 15 years I can swim in it.
Oh, great.
Wouldn't that be great?
And I want you to get rid of the word minority.
Okay.
I want you to get rid of that. And I want to explain to me why is it that, as always, we refer to as people of color. And isn't white a color?
You know, I have a lot of color. If you'll meet me, you'll see that I'm actually a relatively dark-skinned
John Boehner's orange.
White person.
John Boehner's orange. He's a person
you know?
Of color. I don't know how he's faring over there.
I am darker
you.
Than some of my African-American friends. Not all, but not many. You know, it's ridiculous.
Well, thank you, Mary.
To divide people
we've
up
got more calls.
I have one question.
Sure,
go ahead.
I want to know, what can we do? It's maybe more of a comment. People keep saying we need to bring back jobs. I said, I think the only thing that's going to work is American people have to band together. It doesn't matter what your party is. If we can ever get to that stage, if you want to get jobs, you're going to have to keep your money in your pocket. You're going to have to stay. You're going to have to stop making the corporations rich. That hurts you, and that is to stay home, shop minimal. Only get gas to go to work, only get minimal food. We have to go on that kind of movement.
And how about this, Mary? This is what would be my favorite comment. And stay out of Walmart. Stay out of Walmart.
Walmart.
Any progressive
I say
to me,
actually it's okay to shop as long as you shop in the right place. Shop in a union place. Shop
I would
at
rather
Costco.
Shop in a small, locally owned
okay.
store.
There you go. But there are big places like Costco where they treat
yes.
their workers right. So
yes, I will shop at Costco's, but Walmart.
Not Walmart.
No, Walmart
Kmart,
Costco's is done.
Any
I'm
of
there.
Them. No marts.
Thank
I don't do any of the marts.
Thank
good
you,
for you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mary.
We're going
and
next.
She could tell her family.
Yeah, Mary's great.
I want her to tell her family to vote for me.
And I got
June 10th, Mark Levine. Don't forget.
And I got to voice my ire, you know, against Walmart there.
That's true. And I want Mary to bring her family to my house this Sunday at 1 o'clock, 805 Rivergate Place, and join me for my kickoff. That'd
all right. Gustavo, welcome to WPFW. Thank you for calling.
Hello, Gustavo.
Yes, hi. I have a question for Mark.
Yes, please do.
I would like to know his analysis or his perspective on what's happening in Venezuela.
Well, I think Hugo Chavez is not the best leader of Venezuela. I don't think it's our right to choose their leaders, but I'm definitely concerned. I think that there's a lot of freedom that's lacking there.
Oh, well, Hugo Chavez is no longer the president. He's dead.
The guy that followed Hugo Chavez. I don't remember his name, but the
Nicolas Maduro.
Right. And the government, I mean, there's obviously a lot of problems there.
And can I throw something in there, well, Gustavo?
Actually, if you don't mind, if I could say something.
Go ahead.
My time is limited. You know, I advise that you re-inspect that analysis because, in fact, the opposition that Maduro is facing right now is an opposition that's largely funded by the U.S. federal government. I mean, the federal government has allotted about five billion
probably, knowing our government.
Yeah, to create, to support these opposition movements. There's also a number of other.
But why do you think protesters and journalists and so forth are being, attacked? I mean, to me, look, if you have a government and you have a, I don't care whether the government's left or right. If people are protesting in the streets, they should have a right to protest. I don't care whether it's Ukraine or I don't care whether it's the United States. People, you're talking about the Vietnam War. People have a right to protest without being killed. So, I'm not defending any attacks of any violence from the government or against the government. Does that make sense?
Right, but
I mean, I don't think
like
you'll call
against,
Venezuela a free country.
Against a democratically elected government. It does sound like you're against.
Well, I believe in free elections. I believe in
free
human rights monitored elections.
And exactly, that's exactly what happened. They were elected democratically, but they've always had a huge opposition because what did they do? Is they nationalized the oil industry there?
Yep.
Which means that
the U.S.
doesn't get a chance to make money from it. So you have to remember what happened in Iraq. The U.S. Why did the U.S. invade Iraq? Because they wanted those oil reserves.
Right.
Now, why did they want to bring down Chavez before? Because they wanted the oil in Venezuela.
But
I'm with you 100%. I'm with you, Gustavo.
I don't think you could call Venezuela a free country.
I'll say two things. Number one, our record of intervening in other countries' business is such that I think if we are intervening in somebody's business, about 99% of the time we're wrong. I'm not going to say there aren't times we should, but almost all of the time we're wrong, number one. Venezuela should choose their own lead. I remember when Jerry Falwell
– in free elections.
Yeah, I remember when Jerry Falwell said – a preacher said that we should – was it Falwell? It was one of those right-wing preachers said that we should assassinate Chavez.
Yep.
Remember
right.
that? One
right.
of those right-wing preachers said we should
–
so when a right-wing when the far right-wing conservatives are saying he's a bad guy, he probably ain't all that bad.
Exactly.
That's you know, as a rule.
And the truth is, yeah, I mean, he's one of the leaders that stood up against imperialism, that stood for –
Yeah, but why can't he let his own people protest?
Right. And I hate to – well, he's not around anymore.
Know,
but let me just say this. I hate to cut you off, but we've got a couple more calls I want to get to. But
okay.
My thing is this. You know, what I don't like or don't like, I think we should mind our business for a change and let Venezuela decide how Venezuela is going to do things.
Absolutely.
Who do we have
I believe
next?
In free elections. In all
Eleanor. Welcome to WPFW, Eleanor.
Oh, hi. Yeah. This is Eleanor. How are you doing?
I'm fantastic.
Mark, this is my – I don't know if it's a question or just a statement.
Yeah.
It seems like I've seen a lot of progressive people, including President Obama, run for office. They get in, and their progressive nature seems to dissipate.
Yeah, it's a problem.
Get washed out of them, huh?
It's a problem.
It washes out. So I'm just wondering, like, when people get elected – is it like they've shown some big scribe or something? There's some big secret somewhere, and they say you will act according to this, and that no one. Then Congress becomes what it is today. People really do not maintain their progressive stance once they join.
I got to make a quick comment, and then Mark, you comment. I got to make a quick comment. A guy that I've had on my show a number of times, because I don't want to generalize too much, John Conyers, I think you can say he's progressive. Another person I've had on my show by the name of Donna Edwards, she's progressive. So while, in fact, there are some that happens to, there is a contingent of Donna Edwards and John Conyers and a lot of other people who stay very true to their progressive values. And I would say if you look at the records of a lot of people who – you know, when they're running in the primaries, they lurch to the left. And then when they get in office, they come back to the center. A lot of times that's what they've always been. If you look at their records, they sound good, but they've always done that.
But, you know, even the people that you've named, I don't know if they were there that day, but the day they passed the Patriot Act.
You know what?
I was there that day.
No. I was there that day. I want you to know, I'm proud to say that my boss, Congressman Barney Frank, voted against the Patriot Act. We had actually worked with the Republicans, believe it or not, and crafted a bill originally that took account of everyone's civil liberties, and they took our very hard work bill, which we got unanimous support from the Judiciary Committee, and they threw it in the trash. And I know, because I wrote five of those 200 pages.
Okay.
They threw it in the trash, and when they did that, my boss, Barney Frank, stood up and voted against that act, and I'm very proud of that.
But then there was only one congresswoman who voted against that whole giving Bush carte blanche.
Yeah, it was Barbara Lee. She voted against
the
Afghanistan war.
Right. Everyone else gave him carte blanche to do what he wanted to do while we're still there. And I do not understand that. So before you answer that, let me just give you my last part before I have to go.
Okay.
One other thing that I think a lot of the quote-unquote progressives and liberals do, when they talk about social programs in this country and they talk about welfare, they talk about Section 8, they talk about food stamps, And I heard Chris Matthews do it the other night. I was so upset. And he was saying, well, you know, black people need to stand up and say, we're not going to have food stamps cut or something like that. But, you know, there is no social program in this country to which white benefit, I mean, black folks benefit more than whites.
That's true. The majority of whites are on, people on food stamps are white. Majority of people on welfare
are
white.
I think it's either 63 or 67% of the people on food stamps are white.
Right, and the majority of people on welfare
are
white.
But Chris Matthews, it's nothing strange. I like Chris Matthews, but he can go very, very too close to the right for me on any number of occasions.
Let me respond to the caller about
I want people to stop that generally.
Well, let me tell you what I think is going on.
And I think we have another call. And I hate to cut you off, but we do have another call, and we're running out of time.
Let me just quickly answer the question about people losing their way. Because there are members of Congress that run as progressives, and they get into office. And part of the process, and I'm learning this as I'm running for a campaign, is you've got to raise money. It's the same problem we have at WPFW, trying to compete with corporate media. They have lots of money. WPFW has to raise money. When you have to raise money, there are all too many congressmen who find it's really easy to raise money from exactly the people that are harming America, from the coal companies, right? From the big businesses, from the Walmarts
of
the world.
From Freedom Industries
from the
Koch in
brothers.
West Virginia.
They've got tons of money, and with Citizens United, they could just write one check and bingo, you've got an entire campaign. Whereas progressives, you know what we have to do? We have to raise $5 here and $25 there and $50 there, and if we just break our principles, suddenly we have $1 million and it's easy to re-election. So that I think that if we can get money out of politics, get rid of Citizens United, get to public financing of campaigns, and stop making it legal to bribe a politician, which is how it is today, we will keep progressive members in Congress.
Paul, welcome to WPFW.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Paul.
Fantastic.
Good. Listen, Levine, I love you. I love your politics.
Thank you.
But you lost me on Venezuela, man, because, you know, and Chavez, I think that if you're going to run, you need to really look at some of these issues. You didn't even know that Chavez was dead.
Right, died last year.
Maduro is a new president. You need to shore yourself up on that. Now, I think that, you know, in terms of Venezuela, the movement there against Chavez and Maduro,
yep.
The newly elected president, and he is democratically elected. You got to watch what America is doing in terms of, you know, backing that opposition movement.
Here's the thing.
You need to do a little homework on that.
Okay, fair enough. Here's the thing, though. I think that at the end of the day, if people want to protest anything in Venezuela, the United States, and in Ukraine, anywhere, people should be able to protest freely, raise signs, and not be mowed down in the streets.
Yeah.
I don't care who the president is. I don't care. Yeah. I mean, when it happened in Kent State in America, it was our shame when the police shot down protesters. The right to protest, the freedom to protest, to me, is universal worldwide, and I don't like that the Maduro government is committing violence against protesters. I don't like when any government does it, whether it's a right-wing or a left-wing government.
I agree with you, and I think that most everyone will agree on that, but I think there's a couple separate issues going on here. And you have to wonder, you know, the thing about it is, when we stick our nose into things, it always has an effect. You don't know how much we're fueling. We got a lot of money, billions of dollars going in. You don't know if we're paying people to help, you know, put up Twitter pages to protest. I would be willing to bet if there was protest against the Maduro government going on and we're pumping money in that, then the odds are somewhere some of our dollars are going into those protests. Not that you should ever still
and they should
do that.
Yeah, and
yeah.
They should.
So you know me. I'm in kind of a lot of ways. When it comes to the day-to-day, you know, I mean, I'm not talking about World War II, but I'm saying when it comes to the day-to-day operation of governments, I think we just intervene too much.
Right.
I
don't want to overly praise the Venezuelan government. The United Nations, which is certainly no conservative organization, has decried all the people, the protests that have been arrested, peaceful protesters that have been arrested and tortured in military facilities. This is not me saying this.
Yeah.
This is United Nations human rights people saying this. This is not, you know, Obama or Bush saying this. So, again, I believe in free elections. I'm not advocating any intervention in Venezuela. At the same time, I don't think we should go around and praise a government just because it attacks the United States.
And I think
if they're not fair to their own people,
it's not a matter of praising the government. It's a matter of saying, A, we need to stay out of it, and B, the other thing is, with our record in South America and Central America, I can't see that anyone in that area, in their right mind, would ever – trust us or trust the United States or trust our position. I mean, for God's sake, you know, think about back with the Rockefellers and the Vanderbilts and when poor Panama and all that. I mean, we invaded countries
because we wanted a canal.
Yeah, we invaded countries because one rich guy wanted the rights to the train.
Oh, the Dominican Republic. We invaded each of those countries.
Yeah, so who would ever trust
to
us?
Help the fruit company.
Oh, those people will never trust us, and I don't blame them. But let me say this. If you want to get in touch with me, my name is Garland Nixon, and you can go on Facebook and just look for Garland Nixon. If you want to email me, it's garlandn@gmail.com. Garland and the first letter of my last name, Nixon. garlandn@gmail.com. On Twitter, which I don't tweet much, but hey, if you want to follow me, it's @GarlandNixon. So that's garlandn@gmail.com. And most importantly, Wednesday morning from 6 to 8. Tell all your friends. I'll be on Wednesday morning from 6 to 8 doing my thing, since Mark will be God only knows where. Probably
I will be campaigning
kissing
for
babies
Congress.
Or something. Ask me to kiss no babies. Babies are kind of gross. They slobber and all kinds of stuff.
No, I like babies.
No
I like
babies.
Dogs. They're all good. Folks, you want to find me?
Their little runny noses. Oh, sorry about that. Go ahead.
My congressional website, LevineForCongress.com or MarkLevineForCongress.com. Get you the same place. MarkLevineForCongress.com. Follow me on Facebook. Like my page. Follow me on Twitter @Levine4Congress. Watch all my old radio shows with Garland Nixon.
There we go.
That are still up there at MarkLevineTalk.com. And watch all my battles with Fox News and the right wing. And please come Sunday to my house, to my campaign kickoff in Old Town Alexandria. You want to talk to me? Come talk to me face-to-face 1 p.m. Sunday. And join us, 805 Rivergate Place in my home, Old Town Alexandria. Come as we celebrate the kickoff to my congressional campaign.
Yeah, and for the
record, thank you, Garland, for having me on.
Yeah, thank you. And for the record, I'm not against babies. They're a little gross. I had little Ashley was my whole
world.
You're
a baby hater. That's what we've learned today, Garland.
My whole world rotated around my baby hater. Ashley when she was a baby and still does.
I hope you don't hate puppies, too. I'm
just
saying.
But now, I ain't hugging no babies. I love them.
Depends
on
the baby.
But you got to hand them back
to
people.
Not all babies are the same, Garland.
They're great to hug for a little bit.
Some babies are very sweet.
WPFW.
How did we end on that?
I don't know, but we will end by this Wednesday morning, 6 to 8 a.m. I'll be there. Well, I'll be here on PFW, and you'll be there.
All right. Next up, Robin's Place.
Ooh, yeah. Good music. Don't touch that dial.
Thanks for listening to the just completed Public Affairs or News Program. As a listener-sponsored community radio station, WPFW appreciates your feedback, whether favorable or otherwise. To provide your feedback, even if it is regarding one of our many music programs, simply email us at info@wpfw.org. That's info@wpfw.org. Thanks.